The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the days for Jesus' being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him, Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Very blessed to be with you all here at the 10 o'clock. I haven't been at this Mass in a while, so it's great to see so many familiar faces. You know, since I've been here in San Francisco area, the Bay Area, I've been able to explore a lot of things with my sister, who's lived here in San Francisco for about 6 years. And one thing that she's recently gotten into is hip-hop dancing. So she joined a dance team, or whatever you want to call it, performance group, and she's been having a recital these last 2 weekends. I guess that's what you call it, or performance. I don't even know what you call these things. But last Saturday and last night, I went to see her perform, and it was really an awesome time. I was really proud of her, and it was just really great seeing so much great talent in that. I wasn't really too much exposed to hip-hop before, but I'm becoming a fan, I have to admit. But the funny thing was that when before the whole thing began, the dance instructor, the owner of the whole company there, she said, she's like, "I'm old school." She's like, "I don't believe in phones. So I want everyone to put their phones away. So there's no texting, no videos, no, you know, photography, just be present and enjoy what's going on." Now, I had planned to take a video of this to share with the rest of my family because everyone's curious to see my sister do this thing. So I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll sneak it in. Well, would you like to know that the woman who's the owner, she comes and sits right next to me at the performance. So I was like, well, I guess I can't do the video thing now. So... but it was a great reminder to me about some word that always shows up in the spiritual tradition, especially in the Christian tradition, and I would also argue in many other religious traditions too, the word of detachment. Detachment. It's something I know I've definitely preached on so many times. But another reminder that, you know, can I just be detached for a couple hours from my phone, right? A simple little reminder, Because that's exactly at the heart of what Jesus is offering us today in the gospel. Detachment. And I would boil it down to three types of detachments the Lord talks to us about today. One is the detachment from ideas, which often can lead to ideologies. Second, the detachment from material things, including the most fundamental things of like housing and food. And lastly, a detachment from relationships, including family relationships. Now, it's easy to talk about detachment as some type of noble good or some type of thing that comes from the spiritual tradition, like I said, but it's very difficult to really understand why detachment is so essential. And I think that the only way we can try to discuss it or think about it is let's think about what attachment is. I think the only way that we can really understand why we need to move to detachment from ideas, things, and people is to think about what does it mean to be attached to ideas, things, and people. So let's think about this. First off, looking at the gospel, Jesus rebukes the disciples for wanting to wish ill will amongst the Samaritans. Now, in a certain sense, this is understandable because the Samaritans were like these kind of mishmash types of Jews, so to speak. They borrowed things from different traditions. They weren't ritually pure. They had their own temple. They didn't go to Jerusalem to worship in the temple. So for the pure Jew, you would kind of say that these guys really didn't have their act together. So the idea of what purity is, of religious purity, of what it means to be in right relationship with God, was something that Jesus was challenging them to detach themselves from. Now, how does that equate with us? All of us have ideas that we think are meant for our lives, that we think are meant for other people's lives, that we think are meant for society. And clearly, we probably spent a lot of time thinking about these things. That's why they're ideas. And clearly, we probably have gone through great length to formulate ideas in a way of looking at ourselves and the world that makes sense. And hopefully, if we're people of faith, we can even look at the ideas that our faith brings to the table as a way to kind of also ferment the whole process of how we think we should be living our lives. Yet, it's very easy to see that we can let ideas become so independent of people that we look at the ideas as being more important than ourselves or the people in front of us. The aspiration to always live in a certain type of ideal world or try to demand, so to speak, that other people live in an ideal world can very often make us not see the presence of God within ourselves and within the person in front of us. Because we're so obsessed with thinking about the ideas. We become a slave to our ideas. We follow them more than we follow the presence of God in the person in front of us or in the person of ourselves, how God may be moving in our own lives. Secondly, material things. We all want things. We all like having stuff. And clearly we need things in order to kind of just survive. We need housing. We need food. Yet how often do we think about these things in such a way that if we don't have a certain type of house or certain types of food, that we somehow think that we're missing the mark? So, of course, we work hard to earn enough money, to make the right connections, in order to have a lifestyle that we think will bring us joy and happiness. And while we can rejoice in the great gift of housing and food, if we're honest with ourselves, even these goods can make us slaves. Any homeowner can tell you that taking care of your house is like a full-time job. Always investing in repairs, updates, and of course, let alone paying property taxes and everything else that goes along with it. And we could say the same thing about having a nice car as well. And of course, even if we're trying to rent a really nice apartment in San Francisco, we're going to be slaves to the landlord and have to pay, well, right now, God knows how much, right? Thousands of dollars a month. So these things, which are clearly needed to live, housing, our certain type of idea of what type of housing we need or what type of things we need can make us slaves to those things. And lastly, relationships, family relationships. If you are blessed with knowing good people in your lives, especially family and friends, it'd be very difficult to think, why should I somehow detach myself from those things? In fact, Jesus sounds to be kind of tough. I mean, here's a guy who just wants to bury his father, and Jesus is like, nah, let the dead bury the dead, meaning you're spiritually dead. Jesus is calling him out. And even this very reasonable request that this man has, like, let me just say goodbye to my family before I go and follow you. And Jesus says, no, you got to respond now. How could it be that the goods of relationships, family and friends, which in reality are the only things that take us, that we bring with us from this world to the next, our relationships, we really don't even bring our ideas or our material things. We only bring our relationships with people that we love into the next world when we die. How could Jesus even be demanding a certain type of detachment from these things? Because, simply put, people can fail us. We all know what it feels like to not receive what we think we should be getting from a relationship in our lives. Even as our closest family members or our parents can let us down. And it's reasonable because none of us could possibly always be there and provide every source of comfort and necessity to anyone else. When we come to the humble awareness that we are not invincible, that we cannot provide everything for everyone else, nor should we expect that the people in our lives who we love the most and who show us love can possibly give us everything we need at every moment. There's detachment that's needed because it could very well be that someone other than the people that we love, someone else may be the means of God showing his presence in our lives. Not our go-to persons, but the person in front of us. But if we hold tight to our relationships that we love very much, even those can be a place of slavery. So attachment to ideas, to things, to people can, in a real sense, make us slaves to those things. We can become non-compromising about those things. We can consider them the things that we just can't do without. Yet St. Paul reminds us in the second reading today that a life in Jesus Christ is about freedom. freedom is the opposite of slavery. And the question we have to ask ourselves today as we come into this church is, are we really free? Are we free? Or are we really obsessed with our ideas and what we think should be happening in the world, in the church, in other people's lives? Are we a slave to those concepts? We look around in our world and we see lots of brokenness, lots of pain, lots of different ideas, lots of different people promoting certain ideologies. And of course, it raises the stakes for us to even double down more on what we think is right. But do we become a slave to the ideas? Jesus offers us freedom even from that. Jesus offers us freedom from thinking that we have to have certain things in our lives that will bring us happiness. Special types of housing, a special type of car, special types of dining experiences. And Jesus even offers us to be set free from thinking that there's any human person who could love us more than God. Jesus wants to set us free from even thinking that a human person can love us more than he himself can love us. And St. Paul goes on to say that in order to live this life of freedom, we have to be living a life of the Spirit. And what does it mean to live a life in the Spirit? I think it boils down to just one thing, and it's a very simple thing. To live a life in the Spirit is just to breathe. Do we rejoice in the fact that we're breathing, that we're alive? Everything can come down to our breath. If we look back at Genesis and how God creates in the story, the first creation story, we see the working of the Trinity, right? Of course, there's God, the Father, the Creator, who has the idea, the blueprint, if you will, of what he wants to impart in creation. But it doesn't come to be until the word he speaks, let there be light, let us create man and women in our own image. The word, of course, we understand that word as being the same word made flesh, Jesus. And of course, how does God give life to the human being? By breathing into his nostrils, the movement of the Spirit. Our breath, our breathing, is living the life of the Spirit. We don't just detach from everything around us and focus on the fact that we are just alive, that we just are, that we're breathing. It can put everything else in perspective. Because at that moment, we move to nothing but to a spirit of thanksgiving. And that's why the life in the Spirit is a life in the Eucharist. Eucharist meaning thanksgiving. We come to Mass to receive Eucharist thanksgiving so we can once again live a life in the Spirit. That's where we find freedom. And what is this freedom used to do? Because it's not an end, it's a means. It's freedom to love. So detachment leads to freedom in the spirit that gives us the capability to love perfectly. So today, as we come to church, hopefully you put away your cell phones because we don't need them. All we need is to be present to the very presence of God in the Eucharist, to enable us to become people of Eucharist, people of thanksgiving, with the freedom to love. God bless you all.